Reason of the Hope. First Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Reason of the Hope Ministries, working to give you the answers you need and helping you come closer to God. What's your reason? Welcome to Reason of the Hope Ministries. I'm your host, Kenny Steele. The Christian roadblock. What about things that aren't sins? Paul discusses this quite extensively in 1 Corinthians 8. He says, "Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, considering the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not condemn us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak bolded to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." Now, this is a very confusing chapter, but basically the entire idea of this entire thing is, don't cause other Christian brothers or sisters in Christ to stumble. If it is not a sin for you, that it does not necessarily make it a sin for them, because our entire obedience to Christ is based on our love for God. Now, this passage can be somewhat confusing, so I'll begin by explaining some parts of this chapter that need some explaining. So, to begin, basically, the best meat sold in the city of Corinth, where Paul was writing this letter to, could be found at the temple market. Not a Jewish temple, but rather the temple of the idol worshippers, because Corinth was a Gentile community. So, the people of Corinth, or the non-Christian ones, would take their best meat, their most valuable animal, to the temple of the idol for sacrifice, because that was the standard custom of the time. So therefore, after the sacrifice was made, the leftover meat was not needed, because the people believed that the idol consumed the spirit of the animal and not the flesh of the animal. And so therefore, they were able to discard with the meat as they chose. So they would sell it as consumable food. So, the best place to get meat in town would be at the temple, because that is where the best meat was offered as a sacrifice, rather than buying it at some low-quality food butcher shop. So therefore, many Christians, the stronger ones who realized that idols were nothing to be worried about because they didn't exist to them, and that God was the only one true God, had no problem going to these temple markets and buying food. However, some of the weaker Christians who grew up in learning that idols were real felt defiled by eating the meat offered to idols as sacrifice. And so therefore, this was causing issues between people in the church, because some had no problem in eating this food and would even offer it to those who had an issue with it. And so this caused strife within the church. Now, Paul's whole point in this chapter isn't on whether you can eat meat or not. He personally believes that it is okay to eat meat offered to idols, because to him, idols do not exist at all, so there really is nothing to defile them, to defile him when he ate this food. However, that wasn't the issue. The issue was whether or not the more enlightened Christians, the one who understood this, that idols did not exist and it didn't really matter whether you ate the meat offered to them or not, were causing other Christians who believed that it was wrong to eat meat offered to idols to stumble. And that was the sin. It was wrong for them to cause other Christians to stumble, whether it was actually a sin or not, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:3, it says, "But if anyone loves God, this is one who is known by him." In the verse before it, it says, "And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he not ought to know." Basically, what Paul is saying is that it is your love for God, it is your attitude towards anything that you do, that makes it a sin or not. Therefore, if someone is consciously eating meat offered to idols when they believe that is a sin against God, that would be technically a sin, because you are defiling something that you personally believe was ordained by God. Especially since it is not specifically stated whether that was a sin or not, because all they had at this time was the Old Testament and had no way of knowing whether that was actually a sin, although they did know that they were free of the law as a condemning system. So what Paul was saying is that although you know it is not a sin, you are causing others who believe it to be a sin to stumble, and therefore you yourself are sinning against God by causing your fellow Christians to sin. Therefore, it is wrong for us, anyone, to cause someone to do something that they consciously believe is against God's laws, specifically when it's not stated in the Bible whether it is wrong or not, such as, for example, nowadays, smoking. Some people believe that it is a sin to smoke, others do not. Those who believe it is not a sin, if they were to make someone, well, not make, but pressure someone into smoking, and they did, and then, after that happened, they felt defiled as a result of that, that they've sinned, the person who originally pressured them into smoking, who did not believe it is a sin, did sin them, in fact, sin themselves, because they caused a brother to stumble. Paul even says, "Therefore, food makes my brother stumble. I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." He's saying that if you are to cause a fellow brother or sister in Christ to stumble as a result of your actions or pressuring them to do something that they consciously believe is a sin, you yourself are sinning and should not even partake in that sort of activity if you think that is what will make someone stumble. We all need to have a conscious effort to assist one another in our striving towards being like Christ. Now some may say, wait a minute, what about in Daniel chapter 1 when Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all refused to eat the king's meat because it was offered to idols? Isn't that somewhere that you can point to and say that is where we can see that this is a sin, because they refused to do it in obedience to God and were blessed by God for that? However, that is not the case for several reasons. You can find this example in Daniel 1, verse 8, when Daniel says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." What Daniel is saying here is, I will not eat this meat offered to me because it will defile me. When he says defile, this is actually probably for two reasons. One reason it was This meat no doubt had food in there that was forbidden by God to eat, which can be found in the Book of Lamentations and Deuteronomy, but also because this food was offered as a sacrifice to the king's idols, which would also defile Daniel and his friends. Now, this could be pointed to as an example where this is where we can see that eating idol offered meat is a sin. However, that is still when we were held under the law. But after Jesus, we are no longer slaves of the law, but free to God, which is also pointed out in this book of 1 Corinthians. Now here in chapter 8, verse 3, it says, "But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him." You see, we are, rather than to be governed by the knowledge of the law, we are to be governed by our love for God. And so it is our attitude, it is our desire to do what pleases God that sustains our obedience in him. And so, rather than the knowledge of the law or the consequence of the law, is pointless. That is not our reason for our obedience to God. So what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 8 is that if we know that idols are not real, if we are 100% convinced, we believe with all our hearts that God is the only God and no other God exists, then we are not defiling ourselves when we eat meat offered to those gods, because they are simply nothing to us. They're just statues. So therefore, eat meat offered to them, and is just leftover meat sold at a market, is nothing but regular meat. So therefore, we can consciously eat that meat without having any form of conviction. Now, some Corinthians understood this, and they had this knowledge, and they were often condemning the weaker Christian who did not understand this for feeling convicted about eating adulterous meat. And so therefore, Paul chose to address this, not to settle this argument, but rather to fix the principle of whether or not they should even be arguing about this to begin with. So therefore, that is where we begin speaking about knowledge. The knowledge of the law and the knowledge of God. Now in verse 1, Paul says, "We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." Now Paul's point here is, knowledge is often a precursor or a cause of pride. And even if we turn back to 1 Samuel 2:3, it says, "Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." You see, we get our knowledge, our true, correct knowledge, from God. God gave us the ability to comprehend knowledge. He gave us the ability to acquire knowledge. And therefore, knowledge is in itself of God. But we often see knowledge as an accomplishment, and it puffs up, is what Paul says. It's often a cause of arrogance and pride, and that's what God was saying in 1 Samuel 2:3, is that we can't talk proudly, we can't let arrogance come from our mouth based on our knowledge, because our knowledge is of God, it is not from us. And these people who were causing other Corinthians to stumble because they had no problem eating adulterous meat, they were using their knowledge to condemn the weaker Christian, because they, being more older, seasoned Christians, could understand the difference between accepting an idol as fact and simply eating meat because that was culture of the time. But however, they made the weaker Christians stumble because of their knowledge that they did not have. Now we can take two things from this passage, The first part is being that we cannot become arrogant or proud because of our knowledge that we have that others may not. It is of God. It is not of us. And we rather need to bestow love upon the weaker Christian rather than our knowledge. As Paul says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. You see, if we use our knowledge and our knowledge only to try to improve the weaker Christian, so to say, what we're really doing is just making ourselves seem better. It's a matter of pride. But rather, we need to bestow love upon them, show them Christ's love, and that will edify them, encourage them to gain their own knowledge, and eventually they will come to the same point that you are in your spiritual journey. And that's what we all need to do. We all need to use love towards one another rather than enforce our knowledge, because knowledge is a matter of arrogance, and we cannot allow arrogance to get into the church. Arrogance is what causes division, because you have the people who believe they're above others, and you have the people that those people put down. And with knowledge, it is so easy to cause a division, because you have the seasoned Christians and then the non-seasoned, and they will automatically feel below those with greater knowledge. And so it is better to utilize our knowledge to teach and instruct, but in a loving manner, rather than a plan or goal to improve the Christian by bestowing our great knowledge upon them. Completely sarcastically speaking, of course. Because our knowledge is of God. God gives us our knowledge, and God will give them their knowledge in His time. And so rather than using our knowledge, we need to use our love, which is also bestowed by God, but is a means of edification rather than lifting ourselves up. Now we can also take a second piece of learning from this passage, and that being a stumbling block to those with less knowledge or the weaker Christian. You see, some people have a conscious belief in something that we may disagree with. That is where doctrine and faith comes into play, because rather than basing our obedience in God in what the Bible specifically says, we are basing it in our belief of what God would want as a result of our knowledge of the Bible. You see, the Bible doesn't specifically say whether something is right or wrong for many things that are in our time because of how different the culture and society is today as compared to when the Bible was written. So, that being said, means that the Bible is left open for us to interpret how to apply it to many aspects of our lives today. Now, some people have less knowledge of the Bible, and others have greater knowledge of the Bible. And that can very easily cause a division in our convictions in many aspects of society or just modern-day living. So therefore, those of us with greater knowledge and those of us with knowledge greater than us can often have a liberty, as said in this chapter in 1 Corinthians, where it says, "But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak." You see, if you have a knowledge and understanding of the Bible, you can realize that some things are acceptable to God that others might see as something that they can not personally do as a conviction against God, such as eating the meat offered to idols. Now, the stronger Christians of Corinth understood that idols are not real. They are nothing but a piece of wood, and so therefore they had no problem eating meat that was offered as a sacrifice to them, because to them it was not a sacrifice. It was not viable not acceptable as an actual religious act, because it is not correct, it is not the truth. However, some of the weaker Christians, many of them who most likely grew up in Corinth, as a Gentile idol-practicing citizen, would see the offering of a sacrifice to an idol as complete taboo now, and would avoid it in any manner possible, including eating meat that was once sacrificed to an idol. Now, they would often be offended by the other Christians who had no problem eating this such meat. And we often have this same problem. We do things that other Christians see as wrong. For example, contemporary and modern worship versus traditional hymn-style worship in the church. Now, many people believe that contemporary worship is okay, there is nothing wrong with it, while others see that as actually a sin, and they will not practice it. And to them, that is a stumbling block. If they were to walk into a church and they were singing contemporary or very modern style music as worship, to them, they would be sinning, and that would actually cause them to stumble and fall in their eyes. And you see, when Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8:3, "But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him." Our obedience to Christ is based on our love for him, our attitude. So, if we believe something that is open to interpretation by the Bible to be wrong, and we commit that, what we consider a sin, that is us stumbling. We are falling because we are doing something against God, although we personally believe it's wrong. Now, this is a very difficult subject because we really don't know what is truly right and wrong in this aspect sometimes. And so, it is difficult to determine whether this person is actually sinning or just sinning because of their own personal conviction. But the point of this does not change. The principle is, if you do not interpret a specific act, such as contemporary worship or even the celebration of Christmas, many Christians out there believe that because it is based on pagan holidays, many of the practices, they will not observe those practices during Christmas, such as the tree, or lighting up the Christmas tree, or giving gifts. They see all these as traditional pagan practices and refuse to participate. Others have no problem in doing such things because, to them, it is just a traditional part of our modern-day culture, specifically in the Christian culture. Now, like Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 8, I will say I personally do not see any problem with this, with the many Christian observances such as the tree or giving gifts, only because such pagan practices are no longer practiced at all anymore, not even observed in most parts of the world, if any. And so therefore, I see it as specifically a Christian practice now, rather than the pagan practices that they once were. That is now lost in time, and so therefore, I personally see it as an act of simply observing Christmas and making it an enjoyable experience. And so therefore, I personally don't have a problem with it. But, to use as an example, many people disagree on whether these practices should be observed. Now, again, like Paul is stating, this is just a modern-day example. If you were to cause another Christian who didn't believe in practicing these different activities to stumble and actually participate, that would, on your behalf, become a sin because you caused a brother in Christ to stumble. Whether you personally believe it is wrong or not is actually irrelevant in this case. What truly matters is whether you are causing someone to do something that is against their personal beliefs. Whether you, not necessarily saying that you're forcing them to, but just pressuring them into doing so, and then they do it, and they feel convicted for that, that is, on your half, a sin. And so therefore, you are actually sinning against God. And so therefore, we must all be careful in doing, in anything we do, if you really think about it, that could possibly cause a brother or sister in Christ to stumble. And we must know their personal beliefs and strive to make sure we do not offend a brother or sister in Christ by causing them to do something that is against their personal beliefs, especially when it is something that is not specifically stated in the Bible, but rather a modern interpretation of our knowledge of the Bible. Whether you know more or not of the Bible is irrelevant. We cannot cause others to stumble. Paul had an extensive knowledge of the Bible, and yet he was willing to give up eating of meat if it was to cause another brother or sister in Christ to stumble. And we must also follow his example. Well, that wraps up today's episode for ROTH Ministries podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you'd like to listen for more, stay tuned. We're going to try to keep this as a weekly basis thing. So remember to check back next week, and until then, God bless. This is Kenny Steele with ROTH Ministries. Keep defending your faith. Goodbye.